Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to two bonus episodes a week, video feeds,
and more.
Visit reallifesci-fi.show. We've got a bunch of links. I owe an apology to Devin Van Delinda because I said Devin Van Mullinda, and he or she or they is our new friend of Charquan Patreon that I said last time, but I spelled the name wrong. So sorry, Devin. Willie?
I was going to correct you last week, but then I just kind of forgot to.
Oh, shit. Well, now I feel stupid.
That's on me too, though.
Yeah, so our apologies, Devin, and thank you for being a friend of Charquan. So go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi and join Devin. Well, let's welcome aboard the SSRLS from the band called Sound Became Color. You can find the new album, The Death of Hope, on all the platforms, all of it. Spotify, YouTube Music. I heard they just did an anti-pirating thing that the pirates are mad about, but it's Timothy Pizza returning once again. What's up, man?
Hey guys, how you doing? Hey everybody.
Hello.
Good, man. How's your new album doing, man?
Oh, it's doing good. The Mike Tyson song got like 5,000 plays, and then everything else did like it always does and got like, I don't know, a couple hundred, but people keep listening to it, so that's cool.
What kind of music is it?
It's kind of like drum and bass metal.
Drum maybe. And bass metal.
Willie, what would you say?
So he's using sequencers and some other electronic synth devices. So I would say, I see, when I say drum and bass, some people are just like, oh, I don't listen to that. And I'm like, well, it's kind of like heavy synth.
Yeah.
It's heavy synth modulations.
So like vaporwave?
It'd be like if rocker guys tried to make techno. Okay. That's what it was. It was like me and my buddy have been in rock bands. Me and Miles have been in rock bands forever. And then we decided to make a techno album.
Because you couldn't find a drummer or something?
No, our drummer bailed, yeah. And then I learned how to do the Amen break, which is really fun. It's a style of techno. I was like, oh, this is really fun. I want to do an album like this.
It's a James Brown break that he...
Yeah,
broke it down and started looping it.
It's like 20 seconds of audio that people just, it's like you took a slice of bread, a loaf of bread, and threw it up in the air and put it back together, and all the pieces are out of order. Imagine every piece of bread is like a drum hit, like a hi-hat or a snare or a kick, and then it's just like you threw it back together, it'd be all not sounding linearly. But then that's how the drum and bass beats got started somehow. I don't know who thought to do that, but I love watching videos about it and shit. Drum and bass is awesome.
Yeah.
I've been deep diving. It's just really, really cool.
Oh, man, I couldn't disagree more. It's so boring. I haven't heard your album. I'm not talking about your album. I'm sure it's great. It sounds really great. A metal guy. Is that what you would do in bands? You would play metal?
No. It's psychedelic rock. But it went pretty hard sometimes.
That cat video I made was one of songs off the new album.
Yeah.
If you remember watching that.
That cat video is so great, man. We got tons of views on TikTok. Nice. Like 30,000 or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah. What's the cat video?
That one where I was using AI to over my dancing.
Oh, I saw a rough version of that. How did it turn out?
Great. I think it was good.
Yeah, it's fucking fantastic. It was really good.
What AI do you use for video?
Our buddy Eddie Vajara Kitty Punks, he's... runs the Lava Seas, Los Angeles video artists, and he has
a
studio.
Saying a lot of words.
I know, you know, like studios, and he was using Stable Diffusion. That's what he used.
Stable Diffusion.
Then he used a couple other programs to like run it through better. And
well, we're skipping the Wow Scout because you're here so often that we're calling you a Willy.
I forgot about a weird glitch in the Matrix experience that my brother and I had a couple of years ago.
Go on.
So I don't know if this would be on the scale or a question, but I was in San Francisco and it was in the morning. My brother texted me. He's like, hey, my car broke down. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'll grab a AAA car. I'll be right there. So I go out to the Hate and he's got a car and it's fucked up. It's like a white SUV, like a, let's call it a Ford Explorer type car. And, tow truck driver comes, puts it on a flatbed. We start following the tow truck driver and we're like in Moraga, which is kind of like the paint between like Oakland and the next city. It's just like this long strip.
Older brother, younger brother?
Older brother. And we're in my car following the flatbed with his car on it. And we're up on a bridge waiting to get onto the on-ramp to the freeway. But we're above the freeway and we can see down. And there's like a loop that you drive down and then you merge in, right?
Uh-huh.
So we're up on the bridge waiting to get onto the merger thing. And we see, when we pull up onto the bridge, we look down, we see that flatbed on its side and his truck like off the thing, you know, his thing that was on the flatbed. So we like speed down there and get down there. And then there was nothing there, but we both saw it. And it was all like less than a minute for us to get down the off ramp. And we didn't even like smoke weed or nothing. We were just like, what the hell was that?
So you both saw the truck on its side with the car on it. You speed down like, oh shit. Cause it was
nothing there.
And you just got behind the truck and everything was normal.
Yeah. We asked the tow truck driver. He's like, I don't have any problems.
And there was no other truck on its side.
No. I mean, I think it would have been impossible for a tow truck, because I've heard about tow trucks zooming in really fast, taking cars and getting out of there. But I don't think that could have happened in the time that it took us to drive down the on-ramp.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'd be one thing if I was by myself. I'd be like, I'm just an idiot daydreaming. But the fact that we both saw it.
Weird. I mean, so you saw it and you both were like, oh, shit.
We rushed down there. Like, we sped more than we had to because we thought, we would go check it out.
And then you got to where it was and there was nothing there and you just kept driving?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's crazy. I mean, I feel like I've seen stuff, but do you want to introduce the topic?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, the Lacerda Files. Transcripts from an alien interview or another hoax? In December of 1999, Sweden's greatest UFO skeptic, going by Ol K, spent his life debunking hoaxes and refuting paranormal claims. He sat down and interviewed an alien, not an alien, but a reptilian humanoid whose species has been on the planet for about 65 million years. Is there any truth to this? Let's dive into it and see what we can gather from the Lacerda Files tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi. So I only bring that up because at some point, so this guy sat down and interviewed a humanoid being that was not human. He was going into it trying to debunk this thing.
What year is this?
December of 99. Okay. So at this point, the internet's out there and there's a lot of information out there. And Stephen Greer was about to.
Oh, yeah. Pam's brother.
Fuck. He was gathering all
the jacked guy,
talk
right?
To Congress.
Super
yeah.
Jacked.
That was about to happen. They were going to go talk to Congress and have all these people tell their stories and be like, this shit's real.
But this guy did an interview and I'm guessing there's not video of it.
No, there were some strict rules from this.
Of course, right? There's rules.
Right. I know.
But this guy, just like to paint the picture, did he look human?
This was a female and her eyes were bigger. She had bigger black pupils and she explained that they bend our perception of reality so that we look human to them, so they could walk among us. And they've been here for 65 million years.
Wait, but how did she get there? Did she like make an appointment? What happened?
So this thing, if you the Lacerda Files, you can get a PDF version online. They've been out there for a while, and it's been translated from Sweden, so there's a lot of like grammatical errors and like. Definitely not a good read, even though it's fun. He talked with her for over 3 hours. She asked him after the interview not to publish everything.
Oh, you got to say that up front, dude. I'd have published all of it.
Right? I know.
You didn't say off the record. I do that little. Sorry. So he's like a renowned skeptic. She probably or someone probably said like, hey, do you want to interview this reptilian person? And then like, how did she prove her case to him? Like, what could he not bust?
Right. So she did some things to prove to him that like she had abilities. One of them was like she was talking about, I mean, we'll just deep dive into it. She was talking about how one of the ways that they can trick us, and a lot of different aliens do this to us too, because there's like 14 different species on Earth, but she's not an alien because they're from Earth. She claims that we were manipulated by an alien race and we are their seventh experiment. and ours kind of kept because they kind of wanted us to be violent so that we could fight off some of the other aliens that are coming to take the resources of Earth. Because we were the slave race that were supposed to mine copper for them.
Why copper?
And is that so? Copper, I guess, has
conductive portals. Yeah, it makes weird portals and shit.
But yeah, basically open portals and run their propulsion.
That other thing she said in that part kind of fit in with the last episode I did with you guys about the cataclysms.
Refresh my memory. What's the cataclysms?
It was the one where the Earth like turns on its side and just like turns into a giant storm for like a year, and then humanity resets.
Pole shift? Is that what we talked about?
Yeah, like she brought that up, saying that like, you know, after every race they do a cataclysm.
This is an interesting part. She said that there are certain geological events on Earth that when they start to happen, like what's happening right now, even though this interview is from 99, they're saying that our magnetic pole is moving faster than it ever has before, and they can't explain it. Like it moved like 35 miles last year. When things like that happen, there's something built into our code to kind of let us know that this is happening so that we can start to evolve our consciousness, something like that.
And then she said the only reason that it's not happening now is because we're the ones that got it right.
Oh, yeah, dude. We rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. In reference to we're
the winners. The aliens. Yeah. We're the winners, but will we be human anymore?
Who cares? Do we need to be human? I'd like to be something else. What are these new things that we could get?
I want gills.
Gills?
So she was saying that reality is basically, and the reason why they can affect how we perceive them and a way that we can't see their ships in the sky is, and the reason why if you go into certain caves, because they basically, so Hollow Earth is not a thing, but there are deep caverns underneath the Earth that go like, you know, hundreds of miles down, big giant caverns, and that's where they live. They live so far.
How is that nitpicky? How is that not Hollow Earth? I mean, that's what I picture when I think of
Hollow Earth. Well, Hollow Earth is this, instead of a molten spinning core, there's like a miniature sun that's rotating instead.
Okay.
I mean, it's hard dangerous. To compare it to think a. It's hard fires. To compare it to a sun. Yeah, but if you picture a molten core spinning at the center of the Earth, it may light up because of the.
I picture it super lit up. I don't know about you guys,
but like red and scary though, but not like
sunlight. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's why, like, when people say, "Oh, there's no sun in the middle of the Earth," I'm like, "We'll never see a molten core spinning. It probably glows." Picture lava.
Do you guys think it's fucked up that like we haven't gone into the Earth? What have we gone, like 40 miles into the Earth or something?
Russia made it pretty far. I know that.
I know. But it's still like not that far.
Yeah. I mean, it's that crazy thing where this holds true. We've explored more of the moon than the ocean.
Unless they're keeping it from us. I mean, unless they have been down there and this is all real. And like the reptilians were like, dude, stay up there. Don't come down here again. You know,
I want that to be the truth, but I just feel like they can't. There's no way they can get that done.
What?
They're just not competent enough to like go to the middle of the Earth.
To dig a hole?
No, I don't think our government could.
What if they got that shredder? Remember Shredder's thing? What if they got that?
Oh,
thing?
Yeah, the car.
What's funny is the shredder device was based off of a real thing that bores tunnels underground. It's nuclear powered and it melts the rock and creates the hard surface of the tunnel. People have seen it, and there are patents for this drilling device that can go hundreds of miles underground.
I was at a winery that was in these caves under the ground in Marin, and they had a giant tractor thing that looked like the shredder thing.
Did it look like the shredder thing, or did it look like the Total Recall thing?
More like the shredder thing, but the Total Recall
cool.
Dope too. Yeah,
the Total Recall thing's dope, but like I think the shredder thing is doper.
Yeah. I have that toy from Moose. He hasn't seen it yet because he's not into Turtles. I'm not going to give it to him.
I didn't even know they made that thing. That's awesome. Yeah, what's it called? Do you remember?
No. She claims that if you go into a deep cave and the walls start to get a little smoother and the warm air starts to get a little warmer, you might be coming up to one of their entrances or another different species entrance. They have caves underground too. And they're definitely aware that you're in their area and get the fuck out of there.
Wait, so this is 1999. Do you think she like Do you think she liked Californication or Incubus better that year?
Pardon me?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the David Duchovny show.
I did too for a second.
No. That was the album. Those were the two big albums.
Right. Yeah.
Were they listening to it during the interview? Yeah, me too.
I know, me too.
Just Red Hot Chili Peppers blew it, man. They blew it.
Yeah.
But guess what Shredder's thing is called? It's so fucking dumb. Transport module.
Oh my gosh.
What? You know, he had a cool nickname for it.
They could have called it the Driller. Even that bad name would have been better.
Yeah, drill bit.
But so she was saying though that
or mutant module.
Mutant module. That's all right. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. If you
they're not mutants though. The foot aren't mutants. Sorry, let's get
yeah,
back
they
to
didn't
it.
They didn't make the device off the off
yeah,
of
it would be weird. I don't know. I know either. That he had Bebop and Rocksteady, but like
So if you get into one of those things, you may not even see the door because they use that same technology for us not to see. And what she says is that, you know, this is what I've been talking about lately of how what our existence may be is something similar to our souls projected through a prism, and what we experience is what that looks like, where we are a non-physical world. And she was supporting that, saying there are rules. So everybody's projection, their soul projection, they may have their own consciousness, their own experience, but there's also a shared world created because of all these things running into each other. And
so we would still have souls, even though we were like invented by aliens.
Yeah.
I mean, there I want us to have souls. I'm just wondering, like, what were we thinking? You know, when we're like, let's go be humans. Well, you know that they're like a slave race for the aliens that are there. Yeah, okay. I don't care. Well, I'm just going to go do that. Like, that's a weird choice, right? I'd rather be one of the aliens.
Yeah. Oh, as a soul choosing the life? Yeah.
Do you think we don't get to choose it? Or what do you think? Just quick tangent. Do you think we chose it or not?
I think we do. Somebody was talking about how some people who have been abducted, I don't remember if it was Lacerda or not, where the people on the craft, she waved her hand over this little table that had a bunch of circles on it and made a weird noise. And the alien said to her, "That's the sound of your soul." And she called the machine a soul taking machine. And so I guess some alien at some point had asked if they could borrow some of our, like, we'll ask people, "Can I borrow your soul?"
Or did they trick us into it? You know,
right? Yeah, and I think that's mixed up.
Do you think we were just part of the reptilians?
What if we Googled mining companies in that time or back in the past, and then look at the employees and see if they look like aliens?
No. Like, picture, like the parallel is this: when you watch a hive of bees, or you own a hive of bees, you go and you take all their honey. They don't know that you took their honey, and they just keep working. Their life doesn't change because you took their shit. And so as a slave race, we don't know that we're giving away our gold or our copper or anything to them because they just take it after it's mined somehow.
What about the inventory?
Right.
I mean, I get it. They like trick us, yeah. Right? But we get to keep some of it because we have things made of copper.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah. I mean, like, what happened to the gold in 9/11?
Okay. I don't even know what that is a reference to. They had gold in the World Trade Center?
Yeah. Millions, if not billions of dollars worth of gold was underneath the Trade Center. It would have been worth it to dig down 100%. There was a...
Dig down. Haven't you seen the big pit?
They didn't dig down to get the gold, though. They didn't get the gold out.
Well, you don't know that. They're not going to tell you that.
I think the gold came out before it went down, but let me just read a couple questions and then I'll just read her answers. Right. What is your task? You have a job like us. To say it with your words, I'm a curious student of the social behavior of your species. That's why I'm here to talk to you. And that's why I've revealed my real nature to EF, which I don't know what that is. And now to you,
Edward, that's why Furlong. I give you,
oh man, the Terminator's target nose.
Yeah.
What year was T2?
He was also in Pet Sematary 2.
yeah. I'm sorry, continue. She's saying
so the whole point of her revealing herself to him is, I'm interested to see how your species will react if I show you the truth public.
91
the truth public.
91.
Oh my gosh. Are UFOs real flying objects piloted by extraterrestrials, or do they belong to your species? Some observed UFOs, as you call them, belong to us, but most not. Most of the mysterious flying objects in the sky are not technological devices, but mainly misinterpretations of natural phenomena your scientists have not understand yet, like spontaneous plasma flares. Some UFOs are real craft belonging to your military. Other alien species have some. A minority of sighted craft really belong to us, because we generally are very careful with our movements in the atmosphere, and we have a special ways to hide our ships. And so, yeah, they can bend our perception so we just can't see them. They're just like, you know, tuning the radio station of our minds.
Does he follow that up? Like, what do they need spaceships for? I thought they were just like underground people. Are they from somewhere else?
No, but they, okay, so in this next one that she'll answer a little bit, do you have a special symbol or something like that, which we can identify your kind? We have two major symbols representing our species. One, the more ancient one, is a blue serpent with four white wings on a black background. The other one is
a swastika.
Right, yes. The other symbol is a mystic being you would call a dragon in the shape of a circle with seven white stars in the middle. This is the more common symbol you'd see today. Their crafts are shaped like cylinders. If you see one of those symbols on a cylindrical craft, I've described my previous answer. These things definitely belong to us, and I advise you to go away from there. And he's like, oh, the seven stars in the second symbol you mentioned, do they mention, is that for the Pleiades? And he's like, no, the seven stars are planets and moons that of our former seven colonies, because in the solar system. The seven white stars means the moon, Mars, Venus, four moons of Jupiter and Saturn. That's what they colonized in our solar system.
So that must be on the dark side of the moon then. Or are they underground in all these things?
Doesn't get into it.
Man, this guy sucks as an interviewer. I've already come up with like better questions than he did.
I know he's Swedish. Like, how it's like, it just starts in an interview. It doesn't
what
say
are you
like,
talking about? You don't make an appointment with a journalist.
I know.
I'd like a little bit of context.
He's not a doctor. They set up an interview the way that any interview gets set up. How do you think Oprah Winfrey does it? She reaches out.
I don't care.
You do care because you keep bringing it up.
She doesn't interview aliens. I want to know how an alien makes an appointment.
She interviews like Ku Klux Klan and stuff. I mean, in the 80s when she was more trashy.
Was that real?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand how you don't think that this journalist who has a career of being skeptical about these things can't nail an interview with somebody.
It's weird that it just starts at an interview. There's no like, I was at home and this weird alien walked up to me and said, hey, I want to talk to you this week.
It's not like that. It's like they probably looked him up and were like, hey, I hear you're into all this stuff. I happen to be a different species. You want to do an interview?
And it was 3 hours of interviews condensed into 20 pages. He edited it based on what she allowed him to publish.
Can I ask, because you guys were referencing before we started, you were referencing a movie.
There've just been other people putting out, it's not a movie, the Y Files, that guy did a rundown of this transcript.
Oh, got it. Got
There's a couple YouTube channels where they read all these also. Let me see. I'm just trying to get to interesting things. It doesn't matter what they wear, you know, whatever, what her name is.
It sucks because I have so many questions based on all the answers. Wait, what do they wear? I'm just curious really quickly. Like, is it
when they're together, they don't wear clothes. They only wear.
They're freaks, dude. They're horny freaks.
She says that they have. Totally. You know, like picture the back of an alligator. This is my comparison. The little spikes on them. They have little spikes on their back too. And when they get into the sun, it excites them in such a way that it's like an orgasm almost. But like, so like they like to lay in the sun, and so they don't like to wear clothes on that because clothes are always too tight. Right.
And so, if you were dating her, would you have to get a heat rock?
Yeah.
You'd have to get one of those sun lamps that the right wingers are putting on their anuses or whatever. Have you guys seen that?
Yes.
That weird shit.
I'm using one right now.
Yeah, good,
I didn't know that they were. What do we call that? I came up with a funny name when we talked about that. Oh well, brown stargazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get their vitamin D on that B.
Did Did he ask how they procreated or anything?
Yeah, he asked. Yeah. Because they're reptilian. He was like, are you closer to a reptile or closer to a human? She said they do have eggs, but the eggs mostly incubate inside of them. And they have sexual organs. And yeah, she brings up that the male parts are small. So,
oh man, she negged her entire species.
Well, she said the size. Yeah.
What was the size? What?
I don't remember. But the guy that I was watching that talked about it, he was like, yeah, so we have him on that. I think it was like probably like 10 centimeters.
Hey, no shade. I don't know. You work with what you got, right? Can you guys enlighten me into, so chickens have to have sex, right? I mean, yeah, they have to have sex.
Yeah.
But then there's some like fish that lay eggs, and then the guy will come up and fertilize the eggs after they're already out. But how do reptiles do it? Do they have sex? And then the eggs that come out are fertilized? Do they ever have eggs that aren't fertilized that come out? Because a chicken does, because that's like their period.
Right.
I've just never understood egg stuff at all.
Most reptiles reproduce sexually through internal fertilization. Okay.
Okay, and then they lay the eggs. I wonder, I guess it doesn't matter. I'm just curious. I really don't understand eggs. It's so nuts. is this a lizard's dick? What is this?
Lizards having sex.
That looks like a gecko, bud.
I see one lizard.
There's two. You can see both of them.
I see something else. I just can't make it out to be a lizard. But whatever. Lizards get down.
I'm going to text it to you.
Okay, you don't need to.
I'm doing it anyways.
I'm back to my first question, which is like, what? This all sounds like, okay, fine. But like, why was he disproven? Or why couldn't he disprove any of this as a skeptic? Like, what? Because this is like, you could say anything. But what proved to him that it was real?
Right. So I started looking up some of the things too, based on what she was saying, to see if because like she was saying,
she levitated. Yeah,
she did a bunch of things in front of him. She levitated a pencil. She,
oh. Whoa.
Showed him, you know, of course, her eyes and her body, and
she like, so you can kind of take down the veil if you want. You can allow people to see you. Okay.
She was saying that it, because she showed her the way she looks to him, it would be hard for her to undo that to him, because that part of his existence was affected already. So I know I was trying to explain this earlier. So it's like, we have what our projection of the world is. And then there is some other projection of the rules of the environment that we're in, kind of like the Matrix, I guess you'd say, the construct of what rules are there. And she was saying that, like, there's basically five states of matter, and plasma is definitely a big part of the universe. And the way that they can do telepathy, and the way that they can do all these paranormal things, like move shit, and because they know the projection of the rules, and they know their projection, they can affect like the plasma in between both of the rules and make things happen how they want. So that's how they would do like the projection of how we see them, but also how they manipulate the paranormal ways. But if you
walked to like the middle of a forest, would their projection be there as well? Is it everywhere?
Yeah, I feel like it's when they come out, they just mentally project that they're going to affect, that they not be seen, that they look like humans. I mean, that they look like they kind of have to turn it on mentally, internally.
I thought there was more like if there was like one of their ships there, it would put off a thing that would just make you not interested in whatever was going on at that location. Like, you would just turn around, walk away, and you wouldn't even know why, kind of thing.
It's just a billboard for Bosch. when you see an alien ship, it's actually a billboard for Bosch, and you go, like, I don't know who's interested in that show. I don't know, and then you immediately lose interest.
So he asked, like, how come we haven't found your skeletons? You guys have been around for so long. She's like, you guys actually have. they basically put the Iguanodon together wrong. She was like, when your archaeologist, scientist, whatever, put together the Iguanodon, it was wrong. And the Iguanodon has a thumb, and that when archaeologists, a lot of the skeletons they put together are actually wrong. And she was like, when they,
these motherfuckers can get anything right. Isn't that the case? Wait, isn't that why brontosauruses were if wrong for the, so long?
What's an Iguanodon? Is that like the leader of the Iguana Mafia? Like,
it's a dinosaur.
He's the leader of the
is the mafia. But it's a human sized reptile.
It just looks like, I got it up right now. It just kind of looks like a I don't know, a big lizard with like big arms and stuff. It's like it's kind of like a T-Rex only with big arms.
And very small. And she was like, oh, okay. So like the Iguanodon is one of our ancestors. It has a thumb, and your people didn't put it together, right? They used bones from other animals, and they made up their own bones based on how things should go together. So that they didn't put it together, right? And if you look that up, you can ask AI, like, yes, they often, a lot of these dinosaurs, if they don't have, they put them together, they use dinosaurs bones from other ones that match it.
It's the whole thing, man. Like, it's very rare to actually see like a fossil, not even fossil, what would skeleton. You call that? Yeah, skeleton. Like, it's always like kind of piecemeal, right?
Yeah. So it's fun. This interview was in 99. It's fun to kind of fact check some of the things that she's saying, and I'm like, oh yeah, they do that. They do make bones. They do add bones from the dinosaurs, and oh, this one probably goes here. And she's like, you'd be surprised how many dinosaur bones you actually have wrong. Okay, that's interesting.
But I don't really fault them for that, though, because it's like, it's kind of like, I don't know, this could be it, right? I don't think they ever were like, this is what it is. I don't know. I kind of want to give them a pass on that. If you find some bones, you're like, yeah, I don't know this.
Yeah, I don't mind giving them a pass. But she's saying, like, the Iguanodon's one of our ancestors. It does have a thumb if you look at the bones of it, and they put it together wrong. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
I'm looking at some five-fingered Iguanodon hands here, but I don't know if one of these is considered a thumb.
So the meteor that took out the dinosaur, she was saying that was actually the Elohim from the Bible, is the Elohim. That was the alien race that came here and manipulated us, and they were resetting us then. And so they wiped everything out on the planet. Mostly, you guys say that iridium only comes from space, but actually iridium is a byproduct of this war device that they used to do a reset on the planet. It was like,
right, so it wasn't a meteor at all. It was some kind of thing that they shot.
Yeah, and that the iridium comes from their device that they used copper to make.
Well, I've never heard that iridium only comes from space. Is that a thing?
I've always heard that. There is one pyramid top that is made of iridium in Egypt. But yeah, iridium only comes from space, according to our science.
Well, and it's not wrong, because they came. I mean, it did come from space. Well, where'd they get it from, though? Do they make it?
She claims that it was a byproduct from the weapon.
Oh, like a fallout kind of deal?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, that's cool. This is pretty cool.
I mean, it's all cool. If she didn't levitate a pencil, I'd be like, yeah, this is, I don't know, it's a good story.
I know, dude. It's like, if you start to read it, the whole first page is like, I certify this is real. It's all true. And if something happened in front of you, like, you should question it too. And you shouldn't believe me, because it only happened to me, and it'd be wrong for you to believe everything that I say. So it's basically saying, like, don't believe this article, but.
Right. Why can't we get one of these people on our show and have them levitate a pencil for us?
Right. What do you got to do? Go walk by yourself in a cave and like project, I'm cool. Everything's cool. I want to know you.
Look, I'm doing it.
Oh my God. Look,
I'm doing it. I'm levitating this.
It looks like Jokic is doing it because his face is right at his head.
He's pointing at the, it's happening.
Here's something cool too. Her description of the universe is like where I'm falling into right now. It's pretty interesting. But so she was saying that the advanced reptilian species came not from this universe, but from, how should I explain it to you? your scientists have not really understood the true nature of the universe because your illogical mind is not able to see the easiest things and relies on wrong mathematics and numbers. This is
fuck you, bitch.
I know. And I'm going like, she sounds
you made
like
us this way,
a bitch. But I'm like, I was going like this. If I was talking to a monkey and a monkey was like, how come, how come my car isn't made of wood? I'm like, well, you wouldn't understand what a metal is, you know?
It's funny because we gave this monkey like a fucked up wood car just to fuck with him, dude. And then he's like, why is my car made of wood? And we're just like, you're an idiot. You don't understand anything.
You're a monkey. I'm like, I'm reading context into it, but I'm like, I shouldn't because like, you know, like the monkey's asking why his pants don't fit.
Yeah, but she is like, yeah, you don't understand it, but it's like, yeah, well, explain it to me then. I mean, like, what do you, can't you use analogies? Is like creative writing not one of their fortes? Like you couldn't like put it in some terms for us so that we would get it.
I mean, like you've observed us, you know, we're dumb. So like,
right.
To use a term you will maybe understand, the other species came not from this universe, but from another bubble in the foam of the omniverse. And I'm like, oh, that sounds fucking cool because so this is 99. String theory, yes, it's out there. I think bubbles and brains existed in the conversation back then.
The Matrix premiered in March.
Yeah, but it
What's
didn't
bubbles
talk about
and brains.
So string theory suggests that. Okay, so planet, solar system, galaxy, universe, every universe is actually a smaller thing, like a bubble. There's just different bubbles of universes. And so the Big Bang may have been two bubbles running into each other, not the start of something, but I mean, a big explosion because another universe ran into another universe. And that the universe is made of billions, if not trillions, of bubbles. I mean, outside of
like cells, kind of.
Yeah.
Like if you think of like, you know, a cell, the sun is the nucleus, you know, and then like, I don't know enough about cells. I think there's mitochondria in there. I'm pretty sure they're the powerhouse.
Yep.
Okay. So
she was saying that, that this species may have crossed bubbles. So maybe that's why they haven't come back, because she was like, sometimes the space in between the bubbles moves faster and you can't get back across. Something
like a treadmill,
that.
Like a cat on a treadmill.
it was just so interesting because I love that description. I'm like, oh, it makes sense. If you're jumping through different things, sometimes you can't jump back. Or
she's talking about her own species?
No, she was talking about the ones that came and altered us, the Elohim.
Right. Okay. Oh, right. I don't understand the Bible stuff.
Oh, that's the Elohim. I know, right? They call the angels the Elohim.
Okay.
And she, you know, she claimed that, like, yeah, we've interacted with humans before. Like, you've referenced us in the Bible, but they just call us snakes.
Right. Language was a simpler time. You didn't have a bunch of words for snakes. You just had snakes.
Well, then why didn't you get a picture?
She claimed that you're not allowed to take pictures or video because the way that they bend our reality to not be able to see them doesn't work on technology. So if he took a picture or a video, you would see what she really looked like. She wasn't allowed to do that.
This guy was a debunker guy, typically.
Yeah.
Can I speculate now? Are we too early?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't even gotten.
I don't buy this for a fucking second. I feel like this guy did this because it's as a fuck you to everybody in his thing for his whole career. But he's rattling the cages of all the people that he thinks are already stupid. This is his last fucking FU to his life's work.
What do you think life's work was?
Debunking people that he disrespects.
But if this was his life work, he wouldn't use an alias. So this person is not a real person. It's an alias trying to reveal stuff so that he doesn't get tagged onto it.
But he knows. So they don't know who it is. But he says that he's a debunking reporter.
Yeah, he claims that that's what he spent his life doing, and he's here, but he's remaining anonymous so that.
Missed that. So he's anonymous, and I'm assuming she's anonymous. I mean, like, she's Probably just using some pseudonym or something.
Yeah, yeah, because she says that you can't pronounce my name, and it, I think that like it, she said something like it would hurt you to say it because and it would be really offensive. But like,
I don't know,
because my name is Mom.
It reminds me of the TikToks where people hold a piece of paper against a mirror and then turn their phone on it and it goes, how does it know my hand's behind the piece of paper? Like, that's kind of the vibe I'm getting right now.
Have you seen that, Willie? It's very funny. It's
yeah, it's
yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny. What was his alias that he used?
O-L-E. His name was O-L-E-K. Ole K.
Okay.
Her name was
I just want to look if there's anything on this guy. Well, okay, so you're not buying it, but I don't understand why. I'm not following your logic here. Like, why would it be a fuck you if he's been successful at debunking things? What?
Because he knows exactly what to say to them all. He's been studying them. He knows how to get them riled up.
Who?
The debunker guy, whoever okay is.
No, I'm saying why would he put this out? Well, I guess I just don't understand why he would do that.
Because he's somebody in that community that wants to keep shit alive or something, or just something. I don't know. He just likes the attention. Maybe he did it on Reddit. I don't know. Like, why do people get Reddit karma? Like, it's a 1999 version of that.
But if this is a hoax, and I'm not saying it's not or whatever, there's a lot of like cool information that somebody had to be really smart to piece all this shit together, because there's so much. Oh, no,
it's
more.
It's a great story. I just feel like, but that's it. I don't see there's any way of like, I mean, would we just take your word that she levitated the thing and showed him her alien boobs? And
No, for sure. But it's easy. I mean, like, why talk about anything? But I'm just going like, if you can first just be like, let's say this was real. Let's just say it was.
Okay.
Like, what are some things that she could say to us to help us believe that this is real? So that's the whole perspective of him asking the questions. That's why I love all the different tangents of like the thumb on the iguanodon, the dinosaur bones aren't put together right, the
iridium. This is like sci-fi Kaiju Sose. It's just sus to me because I don't. It's all about the appointment, man. I don't know how he got the fucking appointment, and that pisses me off.
I don't know why that is so. That is, I don't know why.
For some reason, that's the most important thing to me. Yeah, it's just whatever. She just showed up there. Like, I want to know the vetting.
Well, that's not information that I think any of us have, but can't you just trust that there was some?
No, there's always some in a thing. Like, I got this. There's at least like a sentence like, oh, this information was given to me in secret, or like there's none of that. It's just an interview that starts. Like, it's too weird. Like, there's a whole missing front chapter that we didn't hear, and that's what I want to hear. Cause like without that, it's just
I don't know. You're gonna have to ask the internet for that.
So listen to this question. Here's a good one. You mentioned many facts about this ancient war between the aliens 65 million years ago. This happened very long before your kind became really intelligent, as far as I've understood you. Why do you know so many things about the first war about the evolution of your species? She says, this is a good question, and I have not explained it properly to you. Our knowledge about the first war comes completely from an ancient artifact, which was found around 16,000 years ago, from our archaeologists on the continent you call North America. They found there a round plate with a diameter of about 47 centimeters. The plate was made of an even
It's like four alien dicks.
Five, four and a half. Yeah. It was made of an unknown magnetic material, and inside the plate there was another smaller crystal plate which contained an enormous amount of information coded in the molecular structure of the crystal. So this memory plate, they call it with quotes, was manufactured from the last bomb survivors of the human race from Procyon, already 65 million years ago, but it was completely intact and we found it. Our scientists were able to encode the messages and data so that we heard about the first time about the events which took place. So 65 million years ago, there was a human race. The war happened. They put this information on this disc and they found it on this crystal. And magnetic, surrounded by a magnetic plate, I mean, it's pretty fucking cool story. She was saying that the pyramids were built from the fifth civilization, which is about 75,000 years ago. That's pretty cool because that's what that kind of lines up. I mean, the person who came up with the pyramids were aligned to Orion. I can picture him. I can't think of his name. He passed away within the last decade. David Bowman, I think. He was saying that the way that the pyramids were aligned is a map of the stars. And it was either 13,000 years ago or I believe 75,000 years ago. So like, because it's all about the precession of the equinox. So that was cool. Cause that kind of lined up. How many alien species are active on Earth at the moment? As far as we know, 14 species, 11 from this universe, 2 from another bubble one, and 1 from a very different plane. So through all this, there's some pretty cool stuff that you can look up, because I was trying to see, this is what I always think about when I hear of people channeling or talking to aliens, like, give us some information to prove that this is something unique, that it's not somebody making this shit up, you know? And she kind of keeps saying that, like, well, it's pointless to explain stuff to you because you don't have it right. And, you know, a parallel might be if I left my car back, let's say 700 years ago, let's say 1300 AD. If I left my car back there, could they do any sort of reverse engineering? But some cars won't start. We'll say the car won't start without the key fob, right? So well, you have the
plus
car.
Plus, it's like it runs on refined oil, right? And I don't know that they would even have.
Right. So, like, gasoline. If you could get it started for a little bit, could you figure it out? And then it runs out of gas or the battery or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so she was saying that, like, you know, when it comes to, because he keeps also talking about, is there evil races? And she's like, look, that's the dumb question, because there's no inherently evil race. There's evil individuals, or that individuals that do evil things. And you know, the parallel I was getting to was that even 700 years ago, they couldn't reverse engineer a car that was left behind. And so when we tried to reverse engineer some of the crafts that we've captured, it didn't make sense to us because we weren't using the materials properly. There was one alien race that gave us information, but gave us a really unstable radioactive element to use to run it, so that whenever we did run it, they would be able to identify us, which I thought was a cool part of the story. The parallel was us trying to run a machine that we don't know how it works actually killed a bunch of people because we didn't understand the radiation coming off of it. So, like, you know, aren't you guys evil for trying to run some technology you don't know what the fuck you're doing with?
I mean, just to get back to your analogy, like, oh, yeah. Okay. So the only thing that we need to run this car is like a series of tiny explosions that like push the pistons that make the wheels go. So, like, good luck.
Yeah, but
let's just make a bunch of little explosions. Huh?
But a bike's not even invented yet. Like, they're just skipping so much stuff.
Is that true? When was the bike invented?
Like 1800s.
Oh, and we're talking, yeah, wow.
We're talking 1300s.
So when was the wheel invented? Did they have the wheel? I'm so stupid about history, dude.
I don't know.
They must have had it.
They got to plow fields and shit in the 1300s, right? So they must have had a wheel.
Yeah. And so my last thing of one other thing she said. So 3500 BC, the wheel. She was pointing out that, like, it took, you know, two million years. Human, so evolution is real, but obviously we were accelerated. Proof is, like, in 200 million years, humans went from one kind of spear to another kind of spear, and then all of a sudden we're in space. So, like, that rapid, all this technology happening, all this evolution to get so smart was proof that we have been manipulated.
It just bums me out because I like being pro-human, and I feel like once you figure out one thing, that's why it's expeditious. Is that
exponential?
Exponential. Yeah, it's Moore's law, right? It's the technology doubles every 18 months. I don't know. I like giving us a little credit. Sure, maybe we started with some alien stuff, but here's my one big question. There's like, we're the fifth version.
We're the seventh. The fifth version.
Oh, we're the seventh.
Pyramids. Yeah.
Okay, and the fifth made the seventh pyramids. So. So they've reset twice. How do they reset? Don't they do? Someone was saying they do pole shifts to do like floods and like cold. What's it called?
One of them, one of them was a war over who got the copper between two of the alien races. That was one of them.
But that was way before. I'm just saying how did they eliminate each of the human versions?
So I think the previous ones were done by pole shifts. I don't know if she explicitly says that, but like I think that
she does. Yeah, I remember that.
And my question is, that wouldn't fuck up the pyramids?
I mean, no, they're fucked up.
They're huge.
They're fucked up. They're not brand new, but they're still there.
Those things are crazy because since they've been built, even according to the whatever, let's say 3,000 years when we say they were built, I think they've sunk less than an inch in that ground.
But I don't know what happens when there's a pole shift. Like, isn't there an ice age? And isn't there winds and like weather that sucks? And it wouldn't, there's no weather that would just like fuck up a pyramid real hard.
Stick it's buried underwater. And yeah, it'd be like shaking up a snow globe, probably. I don't know.
One example is, so some people think that if the Earth is spinning and a pole shift happens, that the Earth flips and it keeps spinning the same way. So even though the ground keeps spinning, all the water goes another direction. So this is a giant like fucking flood. And on top of all the magnetic anomalies and the
right. I just feel like if you did that twice, right? Because we're seven, pyramids were five. It just feels like if you did that twice, the pyramids, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, they got buried under sand.
There have been a ton of pole shifts in our history. We can prove it based on the way that lava cools, the magnet aligns to north and south and it flips. So there is a record of pole shifts.
Well, so that confuses me too then, because if there's so many pole shifts, then that means that these things don't happen, that it's not, you know, what's the Bruce Willis movie? Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck. Apocalyptic.
Armageddon.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know. I need to look this up. I don't know if the pole shifts happen in a pattern.
Random?
Like a pattern or random. I don't know how, but they do know they can see lava cooling magnetically in different directions.
Yeah, I know. But I just think that like from all of the 10 years that we've been doing this, I'm still unsure that pole shifts would be cataclysmic. It kind of feels like we would just keep going, especially if you're saying that there's been so many of them.
For evolution to continue, there would be drastic changes in the evolution instead of like a perfect map tree.
Well, and also like, so we're pretty advanced now. Like, I know we're the ones who got it right, like, go us and stuff. Like, now we can, like, fight the other aliens or whatever. But, like, could you even take us out? Like, are we Frankenstein's monster? Like, are we too powerful for them even? Like, could they even take us out at this point? These reptilians,
right? Like, how many would survive? I know that they could defeat us, but you know, like, if they tried to take us out, what kind of reset would that be? Because the ones that were left, I don't know what kind of skills we'd have. We continue. Well,
you'd just have to start over, right? It would almost be like, you know, there's that poster, like, so you've time traveled, here's what you need to know. Like, maybe you could find one of those. You could go to, like, a mall. Be like, I know that poster exists. Maybe I can find one somewhere, and it could tell me how to make a car made out of wood to prank a monkey.
Right. We have the best chance of using written things now to continue. I mean, like, there's car manuals everywhere.
I'm wondering what would like completely eliminate everything. And it feels like it would have to be like, yeah, a total reset. It would have to be like, if it's a pole shift in the way that I'm picturing it, it's like, yeah, water's everywhere and like, you're all fucked. And then like, probably after the water thing, there's like an ice age just to kill off anyone who didn't drown. You know, and then it probably, yeah. What follows an ice age? Is there like a hot age after that? Where all the like sun comes out and melts the ice. I guess you guys can't explain to me like how the world works in the last like 5 minutes of this show, but like, I don't know. It's interesting that like, that we're the ones who got it right. I can't believe that we can fight aliens.
Right. There's too many. Well, you picture our military, but yes, there's too many convenient and, you know, Timothy, I'm agreeing with you on a lot of things, which is like, it's a lot of the thing information is too convenient. Oh, well, you know, sure. The pencil went up in the air and dropped. You can hear it on the interview. Well, no one's heard the interview.
Oh, so there's not even an audio.
Yeah.
But when they say you can hear it on the interview, was there a tape that was lost, or is he just going like,
yeah. So there were two interviews, and the second one he like pushed because he noticed that his, like, when he picked up the phone, there were extra clicks happening. And so he feel like he was, and there was some files missing from his computer, and he found some other file with a specific name. So like, people got to his computer with, one day he walked into his house, the door was open, the TV was on. So his shit was compromised and some stuff went missing on top of her editing what could be shown.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's either convenient or par for the course, you know. I mean,
right? I know. It's the same. It'd be the same either way. And so, this is fun to me because this has some real shit you can look up that like holds up.
I love it. I think it's a lot of fun.
The story element. I think it's cool. I mean, I don't hate it. I'm not seeing anything that where I'm going like, wow. But the story is, whether it's true or not, and if it was just a story, it was done really well.
But you know what I don't like about it? It doesn't have any, unless it does, and I just, we didn't get to that part. It doesn't have any sort of like call to actions of like, you know, I can only assume that an alien would give an interview to a guy to do some sort of warning or something. Did she do any of that stuff?
She claims she's just a student trying to learn about us, but also to learn about us based on how we react to this happening. And so the call to action is like, really just like, can we get over our crap science of the world and believe in something that
like, could we even is handle this information?
Yeah. So there is not a call to action, and it's kind of like, let's see what happens.
It just feels so helpless to like give this information, give all this information.
Hey, where's your lizard school?
I think it's kind of cool to just in the back of my mind go like, okay, well, maybe I can bend reality too if I can just look at it in a different way and try to see.
I know, but we all think that all the time. I can't tell you. I mean, it's only been a couple months since I tried to like levitate shit with my mind and hand and try to do like the Luke Skywalker thing. But like,
I try to do that every few years.
I feel like everyone does, right? Just to check.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or at least weirdos like us who like to talk about this stuff. But like, why wouldn't you? I don't know. It's fun. Wouldn't that be great if you woke up one day and you could just levitate shit? Jesus Christ. I'm levitating a fucking bank vault immediately.
Right? I know.
Yeah.
There's like four or five wow things for me in this interview. Where I'm like, oh, because you can look. I like looking up stuff and going like, oh, cool. That's actually cool. I don't believe either way. I think it's fascinating. I love getting a different viewpoint of what the universe might be. And then my last thing is, Timothy, did you want to pick the winners of the contest?
Oh, yeah, right, totally.
Oh, yeah. So you guys set this up because I didn't even know about it. And so I'm sure like maybe a lot of our listeners didn't either. And I'm going to go to the bathroom while you do that.
Timothy's album just dropped and we put it out there on TikTok and Instagram that we were going to give away two cassettes, the number one and number 93. And the giveaway, the album is called The Death of Hope. And the contest was just to tell what your death of hope is. Go ahead, Timothy. You didn't take over. I'm sorry.
Nalut in Italy responded one that I liked. Said, hold on, let me see if I can find it here. It's from a while back. But he gets one. And then the other one came in today. I haven't looked at that one yet. Yeah. So he said,
you got to click on the comments to get to it. This is from Johan.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Said, the death of hope for me is being stranded, isolated, deprived from anything you hold dear, and kept away from what is your own identity. Well, yeah, that's definitely a death of hope.
Oh, so people had to say what the death of hope was?
It's a weird question. That's why nobody answered it. It's because it's a personal weird question.
Well, it could just be that we don't have a great reach.
Johan Luna Toon's answer was, the death of hope is losing my ability to imagine, because no matter how difficult life can get, I can always internally escape into my own brain. My imagination gives me hope.
That makes me feel like an old fuddy-duddy now for being the bad guy about this Lacerda chick.
Listen, it's okay if you don't believe it, but it is fun to talk about the various like things within it, you know?
Every now and then, I like to be the contrarian.
I don't believe in any of this shit. I think this is a huge scam. This never happened.
The guy had said sounds like a work and made an appointment, I would have bought the whole thing.
It's the weirdest thing for you to think that a journalist can't set up an interview is the weirdest thing.
With an alien.
I think he was famous for like, you know, being a skeptic and she reached out and said like, listen, I'm a student. I'm going to get as much out of this interview
from lizard school. Hi, I'm calling from lizard school.
Well, yeah, well, so just because you call it a silly name doesn't mean it's not fucking registered with the academic reptilian society.
Can you get those credits?
Let's say this though. Let's say that an alien
to SeaWorld. Yes.
Let's say you're walking around the forest in San Francisco, and you run into an alien. You're by yourself. Says, hey, I'm down to talk to someone. Do you know someone I could talk to? Or hey, you got to meet this person. Or I don't know. Like,
I would send them to you.
And so in that realm, like, we didn't have that many listeners.
Well, no, but like, you know, like, obviously he would send it to us. I mean, like, who else does he know? Like, but then. I don't know. You could probably like forward it up the chain to someone more important because I don't think we could handle that.
How can I get in touch with this Willie?
Willie. Yeah.
So how would you set up the appointment? Oh, come. Would you make me go up there? Would you?
We're long and I don't even want to talk about how to set up an appointment. Everyone knows how to set up an appointment, dude. Like I do not want to fucking.
I don't know why, but it's a hill I'm dying on. I just need to go ahead and die then,
but I'm not going to entertain it anymore.
I have one last question. Timothy, how did you come up with the album or how or why did you come up with the album named The Death of Hope?
It was kind of a bummer, but I just had a buddy that passed away and he was like doing all this really great shit. He was kind of on a bad track before, like he'd gotten divorced and he just, you know, gotten to see his kids more, got a really great job, really gotten everything back together and like sober. And then like made it out of all the shittiest parts and then like was just about to start the brand new job and then died in his sleep. And I was like, oh, that's a death of hope.
Was he a great big fat guy?
No.
Well, why did he die in his sleep? How old was he?
Late 40s.
Oh, Willie, it's coming. It's coming, man.
I know.
Yeah, I think he just partied too hard. It was weird. You know?
Yeah. What? Alcoholism, you think?
Everything.
Oh, okay. So he wasn't living a healthy life.
Well, I'm sorry for your friend.
I was gonna
not bring that up and say that, well, now when I see stuff like Mike Tyson getting beat by Jake Paul, I'm like, that's the death of hope. Like, because I was really like,
right? I know for everyone, I think this is the most one sided want people wanted somebody to win in the boxing fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So listen, Johan and Nalut, you both won a cassette. Mm-hmm. We'll send them out to you. DM me your addresses, or well, I guess we'll reach out to you. But
give me their addresses and I'll get that one in Nalut.
Congratulations. And, that I'm congratulating you that you won, and I'm congratulating you, Timothy, on your completing an album. It's a big. How many tracks? What's the runtime?
It's six. It's 36 minutes. I've actually got two more albums coming out. I think one came out today, actually. I have one come out today, and then I got another one coming out in, like, I don't know, another month. Some days I just work like 15 hours straight on music.
Fucking cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I just try to crank them out. It's really fun.
Well, thanks everyone for listening. Check the album out. It's called Death of Hope, and it's by Sound Became Color.
And Willie and I got a song coming out in the near future.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for thanks for asking me to. I don't know. I mean, I just love music, and I love being involved in music. But
you want to be on it, Wade?
No, I don't want to be. I don't want to be the pity guy who gets added to the track. No, I don't.
All right. Well, if you want to make beats sometime, Wade, you're more than welcome to hit me up.
I want people to make me beats.
Yeah, I got beats. I can give you beats after the show. I'll give you beats tonight.
I mean, I've asked for beats so many times on this. I think that I could be the next Eminem.
Oh my god.
An annoying white rapper is what I mean. Like an annoying guy who raps. I gotta land this plane and I'm fucking it up here. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get 2 bonus episodes a week. And thank you for listening. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Real life sci-fi.